Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Ben Humphries.
G'day everyone, what a great morning it is in God's house today. Just a great sense of, just a good atmosphere and just a sense of faith and loving God and loving people. So it's so good to be here today. We've had a week or two off, so we're refreshed now. We're good to go. And I want to preach a word today called Be Ready. Be ready. This year is a year of to run the race. And so this year I want to preach a word today. Be ready. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you can put it up, guys, if you like. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Not that, the graphic. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's about Paul's words to a young guy called Timothy. The first arcade game I ever played was Space Invaders. Yeah. It was a great game, that Space Invaders. It was at a milk bar on Wellington Street in Melbourne. And there was a milk bar or a deli on every corner. And me and my brother, we would get our 20-cent coins together and we would go down to the milk bar. And you'd have to line up because there was lots of kids there. And you know, all the kids had their BMX bikes out the front with their tough wheels on it. I remember there was a kid called Kyriakos. He was the best player. He was the best Space Invader player. He was about a 13-year-old boy with a moustache like Merv Hughes. And I looked up to him, I thought, wow, if only I could ever be a Space Invader player like Kyriakos. But we'd all line up, and then eventually it would come to be your turn. And you've been watching the other kids play, and you know it was great, and you'd get a little bit of excitement and anticipation, and then you'd step up to the Space Invaders machine, and then the noise would get louder and louder, and the lights would start flashing and going off, and then the screen would start coming and getting ready for round one. And then it would announce that this big noise would come out of the machine and it would say, player one, ready, and away you go. And when Timothy was a young leader at the church in Ephesus, Paul said these incredibly urgent words to him. This was at a time where Paul was in jail again, not for the second time, but for the second time in Rome. He'd be in jail and other places, all for preaching the gospel, for refusing to stay quiet. But Paul had some incredibly urgent words to say to Timothy. Paul had led an amazing life. He was an apostle, a church planter, a preacher, a writer. He was fearless in the face of opposition, always preaching the gospel, always defending the gospel. And Paul knew that his time was drawing near to an end. But he wasn't sad about it. He was happy about it. He knew where he was in God. He knew where he was going. And Paul didn't want to so much leave a legacy, but he wanted to give Timothy something to spur him on, to help him to be ready for what God had called him to do. And so Paul was an incredible man, and Timothy was just a young leader who Paul was training and discipling him in life and leadership. And both their lives merged to this point. And this is some of Paul's instructions to Timothy. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Lots of things here. Lots of things. He's saying, I charge you. This is in the presence of God and Jesus at his right hand, who's coming back soon. And because we are part of his kingdom, this is like all of the lights going off. This is like all the noise is getting louder. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. And in verse 5 it says, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And then he makes these three incredible statements. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. This is how Paul has run the race. This is how Paul has kept the faith. Paul isn't really looking for somebody, like I said, he's not really looking for a legacy. Paul wants to see Timothy and all of us be the people who defend the gospel like he did. He wants to see us be people who stand up for the gospel, to be people who are ready to take our place at the Space Invader machine, to be ready to stand up and to go, you know what, we're all about the gospel of Jesus. We're here to ready to stand and to defend the gospel, to step up and fulfill the role that God has called each and every one of us to do. And he says, in the presence of God, I charge you to do these things, knowing that Jesus will be returning soon. And so I've got five things I'd like to preach about today. Those five things are: be ready. We've got to be ready. They'll be relevant. We've got to be relevant, not just necessarily about being relevant to society, but being relevant to the gospel is what it's all about. Be composed. Be offensive. I like that one. We'll explain that when we get there. And be loud. You know, if we can do these five things, then we're going to be ready to run the race today, which is what I believe Paul was intending to say to Timothy. Be ready to run the race that God has for you. So the first thing, are you ready? Yeah. Fantastic. First thing is to be ready. Thank you, Mikey. Brilliant. Good work. I don't know how you're going to get out of there. It looks like you're really... Okay, you're going to do a backflip off the... Oh, no way. Hey! Round of applause for Mikey there. Thank goodness. Rachel was just checking the insurance policy there, making sure we're okay. But thankfully, you made a great landing, Mikey. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. It means to be instant. To be instant, to be urgent, to be ready at any moment. And it means literally to stand by, to never lose your sense of urgency. You know, the kinds of questions that people were asking in Paul and Timothy's day are still the kinds of questions that people ask today. You know, is Jesus really God? Is he who he says he is? Do the scriptures really predict there would be a Messiah? Did he really perform miracles? Do we need to be saved, or is it okay just to live a good life? And Paul is saying that we need to be ready, to be instant, to be able to talk about some of these things. You know, over Christmas we were playing this game. I think it was called Poetry of Neanderthals. Has anybody seen that game? Anybody got that game? Well, we've got it. We played it. You guys would just need to get up to speed on that. So it was great. But when it was your shot, you would get a card. On the card would be a word. And you have to describe what that word is without saying the word. You've got about 30 seconds to describe to your other team. And they have to guess the word. And so you've got 30 seconds to say the word. But you can only talk like a Neanderthal. So you can only use one syllable words. You see. So let's try it. Hey, shall we try it? So I can't tell you my word because you don't know it yet. So I have to talk like a Neanderthal. So I have to say, me eat cow. Yay! That's it. Fantastic. Gold star for you, Talia. Well done. You can be on my team next time we play that at my house. But so you've got it. It was one of those things. Yeah, there's probably lots of different things like it, where all of a sudden, in an instant, you've got to try and think of something. You describe that, you know. If somebody asks you a question, how do you describe that? How do you answer that? And Paul's saying, well, be ready at any instant. And, you know, actually, Paul talks quite a lot about the mind. And I believe that we need the mind and we need the spirit. We need to have good strategy. We also need to have refreshing. We need to have the intellect. We also need to have the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We need the mind and we need the spirit. You know, some people and some churches are all just intellect. And that might be okay. But you know, it's just all about the word and all about the intellect. Other people, or maybe other churches, are all captain spiritual and ribbon dancing. And you know, both extremes are not really helpful, particularly the ribbon dancing one. But you know what I mean. We need I think we need both. And I think we need a blend of both, where we need the Holy Spirit to help our minds. We need to be able to think intelligently about the Holy Spirit. I think we need a blend of both, not just one or the other, or not just one extreme or the other. And Paul does actually talk a lot about, you know, when Jesus was asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment? He said that Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We've been created with a mind and with a brain, and we can actually use it to be a blessing to people. The word there is logismos, which is like the word logical, and it means like a reasoning and thought. And the root word for that is actually in the Greek, which is vu, with a silent S, just in case you were wondering, which in English is nous. But it's having the ability to perceive and to understand and to judge and to determine things. And so we need to be rational. We need to be strategic and intelligent. And by the grace of God, some of us are more intelligent than others, and which is wonderful. You know, but we've been created to be able to think about things and to be able to be intelligent and to think about God. But Paul also talks about having the mind of Christ. He talks about having the mind of Christ, of having let the same mind be in you that is in Jesus. About being heavenly minded, whatever is noble. You know that verse, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is right. Think about those sorts of things. And Paul also talks about having a transformed mind. Let your minds be transformed, because, you know, there will always be an argument that will try and twist what we think. There will always be an argument that will try and just twist what we think because it's just the way the world is and just our surrounding culture. But we need our minds to be refreshed and renewed so that we can be ready to give an answer when we need to give an answer. Paul had some great advice for Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. In 16, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you know, I think we can just read the Bible, and that's great. We need to read the Bible. But we can also read the Bible and have the empowering and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit just in our hearts and in our minds, and that God can breathe. So you know what? I think if we can do that, we can be ready to give an answer. Why does the Bible say this? Well, we can be refreshed and renewed and empowered by God to be able to give a great answer, an answer that is a blessing to people. So be ready. Be ready to give an answer. The next thing is this. To be relevant. In 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. You know, I don't think being relevant is necessarily about being trendy or, you know, trying to merge into mainstream culture, but it's about staying relevant to the gospel, being relevant to what the gospel is all about. It's about communicating what needs to be said to each individual. So these three things there where it says correct, rebuke, and encourage, I think Paul is saying different situations require a different approach. Some people are going to need to correct. Some people are going to need to rebuke. Some people are going to need to encourage. You see, some people might have doubts about God. Some people might have questions. And so we need to be able to correct. We need to be able to have an answer for that. And it meets them to where they're at. That's what the wavelength they're on, and that's where we have a defense for what we believe and why. Other people might be weighed down with that or burdened with sin, and it's not for us to judge, but to reach out to them, to help them, to be a blessing, and, you know, to show compassion and genuine kindness. Maybe it still means that there might be some tough truths that need to be said, but the goal is always to love and to restore and to help and to be a blessing. So the person that needs an intellectual argument is different to the person that just needs some compassion and some kindness. There's a difference there. So you've got to be relevant to what it is, to what their needs are. And someone else might be maybe just having a bad day or going through a tough time, and they just need some good old-fashioned encouraging. You know, so there's difference. So we've got to be relevant to what that is. I believe that's what Paul is saying there. You know, we have a family friend. His name's Jason, and he's been deaf all his life. I've known him all of my life. He's a great bloke, really great guy. And I actually saw him down the street the other day. I was driving and he was walking. I thought, dude, why are you walking around? So I pulled over And because I know him, I know how to communicate to him. I'm not fluent in sign language. I don't know what you'd call it. I'm fluent in hand waving. And Neanderthal one syllable communicating sign language. But he knows me, understands me. You see, but the way I communicate to Jason is unique. It's special to what he needs. And I know that he hears me and he understands me. And that's what I think being relevant is. To being relevant and to being able to communicate to what separate people need to hear. What's in their heart, what's going on in their life. It's not always an intellectual argument. You know, that was maybe the old-fashioned Bible bashing. Doesn't always helpful. Some people want to know. Some people are interested. Some people are curious, so we do that. But not for everyone. And so I think being relevant, we've got to be able to communicate to people in a way that's going to be a blessing to them for their particular situation. And so that's what Paul, I think, was saying. You know, because the real issue is cultural pressure against the gospel. That's really the real issue. And being relevant is helping people see God in the world. He's made the world. He's our Savior. And that's what being relevant is actually to say, actually, you know what? God created this world. He sent Jesus into the world for our salvation, to be a blessing. And it's helping people understand the relevance of God in our world. Yeah. And if you're trendy, that's great. Oh, fantastic. By all means, along the way, you know, be trendy and be cool and all of that. But let's be relevant to the gospel, helping them understand the real life in the world in a way that's relevant to them. So next time when you see somebody maybe walking down the street, or next time you're talking to somebody about your faith, maybe think about the way we communicate. What do they need? They need some encouragement? Do they need some of your amazing intellect? Or do they need some help with what they're going through? And so that would be absolutely fantastic. So be real, be relevant. The next thing is this, to be composed. 2 Timothy 4:5, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. To keep your head in all situations, it means to be sober, to be well-balanced, self-controlled, mature, and composed. The root word is sophron, and it means of sound mind. It's actually made up of two words, of sound mind, sozo, which is to save, and friend, which is the mind. To save the mind. And it's there for us to be composed, to be mature, to be well-balanced. And Paul is saying, look, on any given day, there could be some crazy things going on. We can guarantee that this week coming up, there's probably going to be another crazy thing is going to happen. It's been happening every day since Adam was a boy. It's going to happen again. There's always going to be, in the world, there's going to be things that are going to happen. But don't be surprised or rattled when things get crazy. You know, let's be well-balanced, sober and mature. You know, because we're the ones that are supposed to be help rescue people. Is that right? We're supposed to be the ones that can be a blessing and be a help to people. You know, that's the whole idea. You know, we're the ones with a firm foundation. We have a firm foundation. Well, I think we even mentioned that this morning. I don't know if we sung about it or mentioned it. We have a firm foundation in Jesus. We're the ones who have an anchor behind the veil with Jesus seated at the right hand of God. We're the ones, we believe that if God is for us, then who could be against us? All of these things. We quote these things all the time. We sing about them. Then sometimes I wonder why we act like we're going to drown when the world goes crazy. It's always going to go crazy. There's always going to be another headline. There's always going to be something that is going to happen. But we're the ones that would be there to be a blessing, to be a help, and to help rescue. You know, we took the jet ski out the river a couple of weeks ago, and this didn't happen, thankfully, but imagine if it could have happened. God forbid, maybe if I was riding on my jet ski, and let's just imagine I fell off and capsized it. Ella probably did that anyway. Ella and Will, they probably did that. They're great drivers, but look out if you're on the river. But let's imagine if you go along and you capsize the jet ski, and you need some help. Okay, things are going crazy, and the last thing you need is somebody to rush over, and they're in a panic. You know, trying to help you, and they almost probably run you over trying to help you. You know, I think if that happened, I would say, look, just leave me alone and maybe go and find somebody who can help. And instead of being here in a panic, and I think sometimes we get like that. We can think, oh, no, things have gone wrong. Things have gone bad. But Paul is saying to Timothy, hey, it's okay. Things are always going to go wrong. Let's keep our head in all situations. Let's be composed. We're here to help people. Well, the whole world is going through a lot of, you know, unrest and unsettledness. It's a great opportunity for us to go, you know what, let's just be composed. Jesus is seated on the throne. We have a firm foundation. We have an anchor behind the veil. We have something we can throw a lifeline. We have something to give. We have something to put out there to help people. And so Paul is saying, you know what, let's be composed. You know, Paul's mentality was always governed really by two things. You'd probably say there were a lot of things. He was an incredible, you know, incredible man. But there were two main things that Paul focused on that guided his thinking a lot. The first thing was a resurrected Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. Paul's mentality and Paul's approach through all of life and all of the things that happen is, okay, actually, you know what? Jesus is seated on the throne today. Doesn't matter, no, what happens is crazy things happen. Things are good, things are bad, good day, bad day. Jesus is seated on the throne. And Paul, that would guide a lot of his thinking all of the time. No matter what he went through, Jesus is seated on the throne. We've already won. We've already have the victory that Jesus has won for us. Yes, we go through tough times. We prayed about this morning. Yes, there's going to be tough days. And no, we don't always understand it. But Jesus is on the throne. So even going through it, we can keep a composed head and we can be grateful about it. We can say, you know what? Jesus, you're on the throne today. The other thing that guides Paul's thinking a lot, that he writes about a lot, that to be honest, we don't talk about a lot, is that Jesus is coming back soon, very soon. It was Paul's focus a lot. He was a lot. He even said it to Timothy at the start of this chapter. Jesus is coming back soon. And it guided Paul's thoughts. Guided his urgency about things. So, hey, Jesus is coming back soon. Yes, the world is crazy, but we can keep a composed mind and be a blessing in all of those situations. And, you know, those two things kept Paul balanced every time when the world is chaotic and unpredictable. But so let's be people who are composed and balanced, ready to help in all situations. The fourth thing, I nearly put up three fingers in. The fourth thing.
Neanderthal.
Yeah. Thank you, mate. I did well in that game, though, by the way. Yeah, I'm with you. You would do well in that game, too. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Be offensive. And I'm not talking, you know, let's abuse one another. But thank you for bringing that real live in. Brilliant. 2 Timothy 4:5. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. You know, we can't keep watering down what we stand for because somebody will be offended. We've got to be able to have some endurance in the face of opposition. Endure hardship. We can't keep watering down what we believe because somebody's going to be upset by it. Like, I'm not talking offensive, like let's go fight, let's go start a war, let's go fight it. No, I'm not talking that. I'm talking about let's stand our ground for what we believe, because sometimes it is going to offend some people's attitudes. Sometimes it is going to offend some people's mindset, and we have to stand for what we believe, even if it means that people don't like it. As a nation, As this incredible nation of Australia, we have to keep our heart and our soul and our integrity of who we are, our identity. This is the best country on earth. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. This is the best country on earth. We have a great heritage, great lifestyle, great Aussie values. And, you know, we can pay each other out and still be mates, and which is incredible. And we have great freedom. But some people don't like it. Some people don't like it and they want to change it. And we have to be offensive in order to keep what we have. Amen. Sometimes we have to be offensive in order to keep what we have. So as Christians, we must refuse to compromise. You know, there's a difference between kindness and tolerance. There's a difference between kindness and tolerance. Kindness is a deliberate act. It's a deliberate act of generosity where you deliberately go out of your way and be a blessing to somebody. It's you actively demonstrate the love of God. It's something that you proactively do. It's offensive in terms of being on the front foot. That's being kind to somebody. I'm going to go and be kind to that person because I can see they're having a bad day. I'm going to go and be kind to that person because I can see they need some help. That's kindness, being proactive, being on the front foot, whereas tolerance can quite often just be passive acceptance. Passive acceptance where it's of a different opinion. And it's almost like a surrender to that point of view. We don't have any sort of active involvement in it. It's just, okay, well, it's just tolerance. Now, that might not be the only definition of tolerance, but I think sometimes that's what happens when we tolerate things and we just allow different ideologies without actually standing up for the gospel and standing up for how great our nation is. And, some people in some cultures, they're professional victims. And it doesn't matter what happens, they'll always find a way to make people feel sorry for their cause, but we must be uncompromising in our faith. And Paul's advice to Timothy was that. He was, stand strong, be all about the gospel. Don't allow people to bring you down. Don't allow other ideas to come into what the gospel is all about. Don't allow the culture around to just squash you down, to have your voice to mean nothing. Stand up for what it's all about. And that does sometimes mean being offensive. Sometimes mean being offensive. Look, the recent tragic events in Bondi, it's a result of what can happen when we tolerate ideologies that are different to ours. And, we still need to love people. We're commanded to love people. And we have to be kind and generous, but we don't have to passively allow some ideologies to be in our nation, in our country. And so we sometimes we have to be offensive. We don't always have to allow imposing views to dominate. Just because someone has an opinion, it doesn't mean that we have to accept it. And here's Paul. He's in prison again. Some people say this is probably for about the fourth time for refusing to be quiet about the gospel. He's refusing. In that culture, in that time, they were worried about people. The Romans were worried about people, creating riots or creating dissent or creating sort of social, disorder. And if they found somebody that was, preaching the gospel or doing something, they'd want to shut it down. And Paul refused to. He refused. He said, I'm not being quiet. I'm going to preach the gospel, even if it means they want to put him in prison. So he refused to stop preaching the gospel when it offended. He was always speaking into a world that opposed Jesus' values. And Jesus himself even said it. He said, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but to the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. You see, I have to confess, I don't love confrontation. It's not really my nature. It's not my personality. And so I don't always love confronting, but I understand the value of it. Sometimes some things need to be said. And some of you love confrontation, which is great. You're all like, bring it on, let's have some confrontation. And you're a blessing to the world. That's absolutely fantastic. Let the breath of God just blow on all over that. Because we need it sometimes. It has to always, with love, with kindness. And I don't love doing it all the time, but sometimes we've got to say what needs to be said. We've got to stand up for the gospel. One of the best words of advice that Paul gave Timothy was, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know what? The message that we preach, the gospel that we preach, is a message that sets people free. It's a message that is freedom, of salvation, of love, of the kindness and goodness of God. We've got to be able to be offensive sometimes and say, this is what we are all about. Sometimes it means confrontation, but it's only because we're here to bless people and not allow other ideologies to run us over. So we should never be afraid to speak up. The last thing I want to say, and the guys, you can wait for a minute, I'll get you up in a sec. The last thing is to be loud. 2 Timothy, yeah, you love this one, don't you, mate? I should just get Grantley up here just to stand here and we can just take a photo and you can, but yep, I know what that's all about. Keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Like I said before, Paul's not really trying to build a legacy. He's encouraging Timothy and all of us to run our own race. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, Paul's saying to Timothy. He's not saying, he does say imitate me, but that's only just to try and help us get on our way. He's saying, Timothy, God's put an incredible grace on your life. Let's let that shine. Let that out of the bag. And you know what he says? To discharge all the duties of your ministry, he's pointing towards his own example. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now it's up to you to fire up the grace of God that he's put in your heart. And there are so many things that God has put into our lives. And, you know, there will always be an opposition to try and drag you down. There will always be something to try and drag you down. There will always be something, even our own internal thoughts sometimes. We're our own worst enemy. But sometimes the word, sometimes other people, sometimes, you know, just the world the way it is, there will always be an opposition to try and drag you down. But we need to be louder than the opposition. We need to be louder than those voices. We need to be louder than what those things that are trying to shut us down. And you know, sometimes we've got to fight the fight. Sometimes we've got to stand up and fight the fight. Sometimes we've got to run the race. Sometimes we've got to keep the faith. But we should never let the grace of God that is in you be unfulfilled. Discharge all of the duties that God has put on your life. All of the grace of God that he's put into your life, Timothy, let that rise up. Let that go full flame. You know, I love watching the cricket. Who loves watching the cricket? Yeah, there we go. And cricket's amazing. The greatest Australian game. It's the best thing the world's ever known. But I love watching the cricket when they start sledging. You know, who loves when they start paying each other out and sledging? And I looked up a few sledges and most of them were not PG. So there's quite a few that I can't put in. But I found a great sledging story. On one occasion, who knows Viv Richards? Viv Richards was the world's best batsman. And one of the greatest batsmen that the game's ever known. He was from the West Indies, and he was just an incredible batsman. And on one occasion while he was playing, and the first five balls, there's six balls on over here, and so the first five balls, he was a swing and a miss. He was just going for everything. And for whatever reason, he just couldn't seem to, you know, hit the ball, and he was trying and swinging and miss every time. And on the fifth time, the bowler went up to him and said, look, just to help you out a bit, mate, in case you're looking for it, what the cricket ball you're trying to hit, it's this little red ball, okay? It's red, like I said. It's round. It weighs about a half a kilo. And if you're looking for it, that's what it is. So just next time. So he was paying him out a bit. And so Viv didn't say anything. And so sure enough, that was the last ball of the over. So the bowler went back, got his big runner, and come charging down. And he thought, surely he's going to miss it again and I'll bowl him out. But Viv just smacked that ball straight back over the bowler's head, went for six. It went over the grandstand into the car park, and the bowler was just standing there, and Viv went up to him and said, there you go, mate. If you're wondering what it looks like, you better go and find it. I thought it was a great answer, was that. And so, you know, there's always going to be an opposition or a voice. So somebody's going to try and drag you down. So there's going to be somebody who say, well, you've missed five times in a row. You're probably going to miss six, aren't you? We don't have to take that. We can be louder than that opposition. We can be louder than the voice that tries to bring us down. Viv was a great batsman and he knew it in his heart. And he said, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to hit this for six. And, you know, sometimes we've got to be loud about what God's put on our life. And, you know, you're created for an incredible ministry, no matter what it is, each and every one of us has something to give. In all of our different ways, we preach the gospel, whether we speak it or live it or whatever we do. We have an incredible blessing of God in our lives. You know, I've always believed that you can't run in somebody else's shoes. You guys can jump up. You can't run in somebody else's shoes. You can try, but it just doesn't work. And you know what? Not everybody's going to love what you say or do, but it doesn't matter because we're not accountable to them. We're not accountable to that voice that'll try and drag you down. We're not accountable to the voice that'll try and keep you quiet. We're accountable to God. He's put an incredible grace and a blessing on us. And so that's all we need to focus us on. And you know, each one of us has an incredible gift, an incredible ministry to fulfill. So let's not be shy. I want to encourage you today. I want to thank you so much for being here and listening. You know, I really hope today that we can be ready to give an answer for what we believe, to be ready to give an answer for the gospel, for what we stand up for what we believe. Let's be relevant. Let's be able to communicate to people in a way that they need. Let's not just give them a piece of our mind or a piece of, this is what I want you to have today. No, let's maybe even have some understanding and compassion about what does this person need, what's going to help them today. Might be something different than, and we can even rely on the Holy Spirit to help us in those moments. Say, you know what, I can't exactly think what I need to say, but God, help me. Let's be relevant to people. Let's be able to see people around about us and be able to bring a blessing to them. Let's be composed when things get crazy. Things are going to get crazy. It's going to be good things happen, bad things happen. But let's be able to be balanced. Let's be able to be a part of the plan of God to help rescue people in the middle of tough situations. Let's be offensive. We can't just allow, different ideologies or different things just to run us down. Let's stand tall about the gospel. Let's stand tall with what we believe and what we're all about. And let's be loud and proud about who God is, about what he's done for us, that Jesus is seated on the throne today. So I want to thank you so much for coming out to church today. God bless you. I'm going to hand back to the team, and here they go.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.